Your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Looking at the Spirit of God, what He means to us, and without Him, we can do nothing, good or bad. Because there's no difference between Him than God the Father, no difference between Him and God the Son, other than He's a different person, and He's got different work that He's commissioned to do, but He is the same. There's one God. As Jesus said, and we read in John, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Well, hey, Jesus said, we will come unto you. Talking about Him and His Father. And they come to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And now you got all of God living in you. You ain't got just, you know, one part of Him. All of God lives in you in the person of the Spirit. They are indivisible. And wherever the Spirit is, there is God the Father, God the Son. And it's a wonderful thing to realize. And not just part of Him, all of Him lives and abides and works and moves in us. I was coming to church last week. Seemed to be that God spoke to me about sight and how He couldn't see. How oftentimes I can't see things as I ought to, and how I could see things if I was doing more of what God spoke to my heart about in the way in the church this morning, and that is rest. Just resting in Him. Letting it be Him. Letting it be the Lord. Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And I thank God for the thanksgiving and praise that we've heard in here this morning. You know, and we need to thank God. The Bible says give thanks to God for all things. It's wonderful when we can say, thank God, you know, God answered prayer the way I wanted Him to. But sometimes it don't go that way. I've had to say goodbye to people because we prayed for them. God took them, you know. Do we remember to thank God for that? That God in His mercy took them out of this world. A gentleman I worked with one time, he was upset with God. He said, God took his little precious nine-year-old girl, and he said, you tell me how a good God would let this young lady die with leukemia like that. I said, ain't you a selfish old codger? I said, here God is, took her out of this sin-cursed world, took her up there to be with Him, with the bliss and joys of heaven, and you begrudge her that? He shut his mouth. He said, I didn't think of it like that. I said, that's our problem. We don't think. We react to problems and rather than realizing that God is good and always does what's right. But we're looking at the Spirit in the believer. We looked at that in John 14, 9 through 21. We saw how the Spirit is in the believer. Then in John 14, 23 through 26, we see how this Spirit that's in us will be our teacher, and He'll teach us the truths of the Word of God. And then in John chapter 15, 1 through 27, we find how Jesus talked about abiding in Him. And the Spirit abides in us. But now we're to learn to abide in Him. I think that's kind of like that resting. You know what I mean? Just kind of say, I'm sitting down with you. Kind of like, you know, when Mary came down and sat down at the feet of Jesus Christ and let Him, you know, minister unto her, you know. She was saying, I've come to sit down. I've come to hang out. I've come to spend time with you, Lord. I've come to abide. And the Holy Spirit will. He's not going nowhere. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Jesus will give us that promise. So I'll send you another comforter, and he will be with you always. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you. He said, the Father and I, we will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we see him as a teacher in John in chapter 14 and in John 15, 1 through 27, that the Holy Spirit abides. He's come to sit down. He's not going nowhere. He's going to take whatever time it takes. He to begin a good work in you shall perform it. He's going to finish it. Man, I tell you what, I look at myself all the time. I say, God, are you making any headway? Are you making any headway? I mean, I can't see it. I got saved 1984. Maybe before. Brother Ernie told me a little story, had me checking up. Hey, the Bible said I was in Christ Jesus from the foundation. Jesus Christ on the cross from the foundation. He saved me from the foundation of the world. He knew me from the foundation of the world. He knew me. But I found out about it in 1984. Okay? He knew me. He knew me. He knew when I was going to get saved. He knew all that, and he had the thing, the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Who do you think that good man is? You think it's you? You think so? No, it's him. And he knew. He knew the path he was going to walk. He knew the day he was going to walk into your life and into my life. I just praise God for that. Amen. The Holy Spirit that abides, and in John chapter 16, 7 through 15, the Holy Spirit that guides. And I need to learn that more. I need to let Him guide me into all truth. I need to realize that the Spirit's in me and that He's a teacher of the Word of God and that the Holy Spirit abides in me and that He will guide me now into all truth. So we're going to look at that first part. The Spirit in the believer. And we're looking at some verses of Scripture and look at what this means to have the Spirit of God abiding you. In Romans chapter 8, look in verses 9. Looking in verses 9. I'm going to begin reading verse 8. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, one thing you look about this Spirit in a believer, it makes you able to please God. Without the Spirit of God, you can't please God. So, to have the Spirit in you and to know that you have the Spirit of God in you, you can believe and realize you can please God. God is pleased at the very fact that you believe Him. Just to believe Him. Do you believe this? Do you believe what we just read? That is something we need to work on. That we look. Now, I know you got to rightly divide the word of truth, and you can't take stuff out of context. But this is talking about a person to whom has the Spirit of God. And how do you have Him? By believing God. When you believe God, Jesus Christ will indwell you and you'll get the faith of the Son of God in you to reveal that you are saved. You don't know that through your own faith. You know that through the faith of the Son of God because He's the one that did the works. He knows what He did to save us. Amen? You don't. I don't. We don't know what Jesus Christ did on the cross exactly. All we know is He suffered. He suffered at the hands of man. We know how He suffered. We know about the whipping post. We know about the three nails. Amen. We know about the three that died there. We know a lot of these truths. But we don't really know what happened because when Jesus Christ died for us. It was covered. Remember, darkness covered. They didn't know what was going on. God poured His judgment out upon His Son and for us judged sin. I mean, it's a powerful thing to realize what he's done for us. But we can't figure it out. You can't really lay hold on it. I really don't know. The Bible says it's a miracle, salvation is. A lot of people, I've asked people to try to give me some things. But I've tried to lay hold of this thing about salvation. And explain to me why you believe and another man don't. I can't figure it out. I've looked in the scriptures. I've tried to study it and try to dig it out. It ain't there. It's a miracle, and it's of God. God saved us. Amen. We can't save a soul. All we can do is do our part. Take the gospel. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Just get the Word of God out. He said, my word will not return void. It'll accomplish what God pleases. And one of the things that's needed by the Spirit of God for us to do is to do what some of y'all were doing this morning. Just praising God. Having thanksgiving in your heart towards God. Declaring the goodness of God. Amen. For it's the goodness of God that leadeth men unto repentance. Huh? So, speak of the goodness of God. And then, give them the Word of God. It won't return void. It'll accomplish. I used to get so disappointed when I'd go out on visitation, wouldn't have nobody saved. And I said, God, is it my fault? Might have been my fault. I don't know. But, all I'm saying is, hey, I wasn't no Savior. I know one thing. If I gave out the Word of God, if I gave them the Word of God, it didn't return void. It's going to accomplish what God pleases. Huh? It's seed. You throw it out. You know? Boy, years ago, I heard old J. Vernon McGee talk about that. Boy, and he was going over that, the great parable of the sower, And he said, man, said, we ain't nothing. Some soweth, some watereth. But who giveth the increase? It's God. He said, just go do your job. Don't worry about God's part. Just do your part. Sow the seed. Water it with the Word. Amen. Then let God do His part. And it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. So another thing is, not only does it give us the Spirit being in us, make us able to please God, but it also, what does it say it does right here? It said, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Amen? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So what we have by the Spirit being in us, for the first time, when the Spirit of God came in you, you were alive. That was the first day you had life. He that has the Son of God has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Man, they got all these shows about zombies, walking dead. I'm going to tell you, they're everywhere out here. They're out here walking around. They're dead. They don't have life. They're just rotten, and I love those accounts in the Bible where Jesus Christ, took those that were dead and gave them life. Something I noticed about that, how it was a progressive thing. You remember the little girl? You remember the little girl? The father came and said, "Come," he says, "my daughter is sick unto death. Come." And he said, "I will." And before he even got there, they come around here and said, "Bother not the master." He said, "It's too late. She's dead. She's dead." Jesus said, "Fear not, but believe." Amen. Boy walks in there. He said, this child's not dead. It's alive. He said, "You're crazy." They laughed at him, and then he put them out. Well, she was physically dead. But he said, she's not dead. She was his. She was his. He walks in. Boy, he said, made arise. Amen. Now she was, I think she was still probably warm to the touch. She was supple. You know what I'm saying? Her body was supple. But you know, there's one thing that she needed. She needed Jesus. Amen. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. She showed up. And I don't care where you at. When little children, I think of little children. And we should work hard at that. Getting little children. Feed them the Word of God so they can make that difference. So they can believe early. Why let them grow up to be an old man like me full of sin and then have those memories and those habits, you know what I mean, to fight with for the rest of your life? I'd rather bring them to Christ when they're real little and try to keep them away from some stuff. Amen? But here he was. He brought life in her. Then there was another fella. I guess he might have been about the same age I was when I got saved, or maybe a little younger. He might have been, I think he was probably around 20 years of age. Maybe might have even been a little younger, but he was this lady's son. And they brought him out on a beer. And I ain't talking about Budweiser. He had died. And they was taking him out to bury him. They was carrying him out. He was stiff. He was cold. His color wasn't good. Amen. You knew he was dead. There wasn't no doubt in it. You know what I mean? This man was dead. Graveyard dead. Amen. He was dead. And she was weeping. And the Lord Jesus came up there. They didn't even come get him. He just heard the wailing. He stopped them. Laid his hands on him and asked God to put life in him. Amen. See, he's gone a little bit further than that other girl. He was like snapping an arm off, you know what I mean? It was rigor mortis done set in. But you know what? He needed the same thing that girl needed. All he needed was Jesus. And my point is, I don't care how far people are out here in sin. Jesus can make the difference. And of course, now we know probably what the most famous one, right? Lazarus. Huh? 4 days. He's dead. Man, they done wrapped him in grave clothes, bound him up, head to foot. Ain't no denying he was dead. If he wasn't dead, they'd have suffocated him because they wrapped him up like a mummy. You know what I'm saying? He was dead. He was in, and they took him and laid him in the tomb. And Jesus knew where he was at. Amen. He knows exactly where people are at. You know, we ought to ask God to help us and have discernment about that, to know where people are at in their lives, so we have the right kind of words to say to them. But Jesus, you know, we know the story, how they sent for him, you know, how he was sick. And Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God. Amen. He was in Christ from the foundation of God. He knows them that are his. Amen. Huh? He said, it's not unto death. There he was. More than finally, when it's been long enough, Jesus said, it's time. He says, hey, we're going back to Bethany. They said, oh, we go back there, they're going to try to kill you. They're going to kill you. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. We go to awaken him. Didn't say he was dead. Said, he sleepeth. We go to awaken him. He said, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. He said, It ain't that kind of sleep, buddy. We're talking about his body's dead. And he goes. Old Thomas said, hey, let's go die with him, amen. I like his spirit anyway, amen. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew one thing. Buddy, he wanted to go with him. If it meant to death, he wanted to go with him. Now, their faith failed later. But at that point, you know, he was ready. He wanted to die with him. So they take off and get back there, and we know how, you know, Martha hears that the Lord's come and runs out. She said, if you'd have been here, you know, Lazarus would have died. He says, do you believe that he said, oh, I believe that he will live in the resurrection. Jesus gave that great statement, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall not die. She said, believe us out of this. She said, yeah, I believe, Lord. And she believes about that much, amen. She believed it, but about that much. Because a little bit later, she said, when he said, roll the stone away, she said, Lord, he's stinking. He said, didn't I not say unto you, if you'll believe, you'll see the glory of God? Okay, God. All right, Jesus. I believe you. Amen. Roll the stone out of the way, boy. Mary comes and says the same thing, and how the Spirit's moved in Jesus, and it grieves his heart. He felt the pain of their loss. But he shows up. By now, he stinketh. He's starting to decay. He's not rigor mortis ain't set in anymore. It ain't rigor mortis. They say after rigor mortis and you regard the decay, they're not stiff anymore. Do you know that? Once they start to decay, their muscles lax up. And he's starting to rot. He's decaying. Stuff's starting to fall off of him. You know? If you mess with him too much, he man, ain't no telling what would have happened. He's by now he stinketh. He's rotten. They rolled the stone back. You know what he needed? Same thing that little girl needed. Same thing they needed Jesus. He needed Jesus. So, and that's what this world needs. It don't matter how rotten this world is. He's able to make a difference. It don't matter how rotten. This world's rotten. We know that. But he's able to make the difference. What will the Spirit in you give? It will give life. You're able to please God. It will give life. Now look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16. Now, I'm actually going to begin reading verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building. According to the grace of God, was given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, and that's where it go back, the Spirit abiding in us, and he's teaching us to abide in him. Why? So our works will be full and not suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, this is a serious thought right here about the Spirit of God abiding in us. But what I want us to see is that we are the temple of God. He lives in us. He lives in us. And wherever you are, there He is. Amen? Me and John Spade over talking for a minute or two and made this comment, you know, there's been things that, man, I've said, thought, done, everything. I wouldn't dare want my wife to know about it. It would hurt her. I don't know if any of y'all got any of that kind of stuff or not, but I'm talking about me. But you ever think, though, did it ever really just cross our mind? You ain't hiding nothing from Him. So you can't say, you know, you can't try to, you know, ease His feelings by keeping stuff back from Him. He knows it all. So if we're not going to hurt Him, we're just going to have to do right. Amen. Do right. I don't say that to accuse or to make you feel pressured or to hurt. In fact, it should be to encourage, because God knows when we care about His feelings. And what a great opportunity, amen, to let you know you love Him by simply being obedient and not being disobedient, by being yielded and not being willful. He's in you. You are His temple. Now, we know what happened. They defiled the temple over in Israel. And what did God do? What did He do? He destroyed it, didn't it? Jesus, then they rebuilt it, right? And it was defiled again by swine's blood. Remember that? Huh? Then He destroyed it. And He built it again, didn't He? They built it again. And the Shekinah glory was not in it anymore after the first time. Is that not correct? Huh? Praise God, one of these days, boy, that temple's going to be rebuilt again, and we'll be there present to see it. And His glory shall fill the temple. And that's what ought to be happening to us, amen? The glory of God shining out of us. It's like I was talking last week. That preacher brought that up and said, rend that heart, amen? And let the glory of God out, amen? Out into this world. He dwells in you. You are the temple of God. And you are holy. Holy. God, that's hard for me to think about. Dave Lessie, holy? Huh? Without holiness, no man shall see God. And the only thing that makes us holy is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's in the inner man. That ain't in this flesh. Amen? But we are to take this flesh because we are holy. Amen? And bring it and make it subject to the things of God. Our body, we need to bring it in subjection and not defile the temple, the place where God abides. It's like I've said this, and I use this illustration. I'm going to use it again right quick. When I was a boy, we'd be get out and get playing, especially toward the evening. We'd be out there playing, catching lightning bugs and doing all them stuff that I wish I could do again. And, man, just having a big time, you know. And next thing you know, we get playing too rough. Somebody get hurt. Next thing you know, there's a fuss. There's a fight. And Mama sticks her head outdoors and, if y'all can't play right, you're going to have to come in. Right? Huh? That's good. If y'all can't play right, you're going to have to come in. And that's the way it is with us. God's given us something to do. If we can't play right, we got to come in. Amen? He'll take us out of here. He's got something for us to do. If you want your reward full, He ain't going to take you in. Amen? You're going to learn to play right. So you can stay out there. You know what I mean? Enjoy living and doing for God. Hey, praise God. But if you don't, there is a sin and a death. Amen? He will take us out. if he has to. He don't want to. He's long-suffering. But, amen. All right, so now, look at, there's more I could look at there, but look at Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 14, it says, that the blessing of Abraham should come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after in a manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be of confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not to seeds. Amen. As of many, but as of one. As of one. Now, if God's got one seed, and he's planted it in us. Huh? That seed has been planted in us. You know, the Bible said, if a seed abideth, you know, if it's not planted, it doesn't come up. Amen? Jesus Christ is that one seed. It's been planted in us. Amen? So, the fact that you've got the Holy Spirit of God abiding in you, now you have the promise which was given unto Abraham. Amen? Of everlasting life. Because one of these days, I don't care what loved one you buried that's got the Spirit of God in him, when it was buried, amen, the promise is that there will be a resurrection unto everlasting life. Because of that seed. That was what was promised to Abraham. That's what's been promised to us. Look at Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, that Holy Spirit has sealed us. Hey, you got that living seed has been buried. When it's buried in the ground, it's going to spring up into eternal life. And the Spirit of God now is that earnest of our inheritance. Is that all of it? No, we got all kinds of stuff that God has given us. But the Spirit is the earnest of it. And when you got Him, you got it all. Look here in Ephesians 2:18. I might be missing some stuff, but that's 2:18. It says, through Him, for through Him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Not only are you a temple, not only do you have received life, but not only this, God, it says right here in this verse, because of the Spirit in you, He wants to sit down. He wants to inhabit us. God Himself, God the Father. He said, I want to live in you. I want to live in you. Hey, are we making ourselves habitable? I mean, don't go by my house right now. It's a mess. I'd hate for you to see it. Oh, my God. Jim's sitting there shaking his head. His is tore all to pieces. But you're going to put it back together, amen? And you're going to move back in after it's what? Put back together. We're in habitation of God. Let's keep it right, what I'm saying. Let's work on it. Keeping a place where God come in, oh, I'm comfortable here. Amen? Not all dirty and messy and dishes piled up in the sink and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I need to hurry. 4:30. I'm just going to read these. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And the good thing is, hey, not the part about grieving the Spirit of God, which you ought not, but the Bible says He sealed us in the day when God returns for that purchased possession, and we're raised, praise God. There was a verse, I missed it, I overlooked it, I think, but where it talked about the fact that our bodies will then, by the Spirit of God, will be made immortal, like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And look down here in Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What I want to see, because of the Spirit that indwells you, you have all these riches that God has supplied. Now, the Spirit being the earnest of our inheritance, He reveals the riches that God has for us. Here's another one I missed it. About not only because the Spirit is in you, you are mighty. You have might. You have power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Colossians 3:11. I'm going too fast. We're going to go to the next one next week. In whom you also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or new moon or Sabbath, or a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. God has said right here, He said, look, He said, I took all this mess that was against you out of the way. Because the Spirit is in you, you've been made alive. And you've been forgiven all your trespasses. I've blotted out all this stuff. I've spoiled the principalities and the powers that had you bound. And I've rent them away. Now you have freedom to live for me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.